meets in a public school hall. Occasionally you do hear people say, well, that shouldn't go on, that shouldn't exist. What, you know, these Christians, they've got their own buildings. They've got their own Christian buildings, churches. They've got their own, you know, Christian schools that they could meet in. Why are they here? Why are they meeting here? And perhaps that's how we think, as we think about church. Maybe that's, as we think about being together, well, you know what, it would be good to have a church building. It would be good to have our own little church building we could call our own and have the comfort and security of that. Or even more wildly, as we know, the church is not the building, the church is the people. And that's going to be the theme over the next 3 weeks. It's not a building, it's not the service, it's the people. The real heart of my question is, how much are we connected? How much are we relating to those outside of our church? Are we looking for comfort and security as we gather together as the people of God? Or as we're looking to say, we've got this incredibly good news. We've got this amazing relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want other people to know it. I want other people to see it. As Robin was explaining in that kids' talk, I want people to ask the question, I see something different in your life, and I want to have the conversation with you about why you are different. Or is it just comfortable here? Are we just secure enough? Is our church, it's just big enough that there's enough people who are like me, enough people I call friends, and actually I don't want it to change. I don't wish it to be any different. Well, the Israelites were kind of faced with a similar dilemma. They were afraid. They were looking for comfort and security. And God, through Jeremiah, gives this incredible word in Jeremiah 29, where he says to them and encourages them to do this: seek the peace and prosperity of the city. So we'll go back in time and we'll see the context in which the Israelites find themselves. They've been exiled. They've been taken captive into Babylon. And they find themselves in a foreign land, in a foreign kingdom. And there's pressure on them. Incredible pressure. And there's two kinds of things that they're thinking about. The first is this: what we need to do is have our own little huddle. We need to be our own little people with our own values and our own culture. And in order to survive, we need to stay where we are. And we can't go into the city. We can't be part of Babylon. We can't be a part of that culture and those values and what's happening there, or we'll lose our purity. We'll lose what makes us different. So we need to stay outside. And we believe that God's going to come back and rescue us anyway. Sooner rather than later, we're going to find ourselves taken back to Jerusalem. But then there's other people, again, thinking about comfort and security and saying, no, we can't live that way. We can't be isolated. We can't be on the outside. We've been invaded. We've been taken captive. We need to go and be part of the city. We need to be living in Babylon. We need to follow their gods. We need to be who they are. Otherwise, we'll be persecuted. We'll be a minority that's on the outside. We need to be like the Babylonians. And so there's two different ways of thinking. It's the diviners or prophets there saying to the people, hey, we need to stay out and be different, and God will take us home soon. And there's others saying we can't do that. We're basically prisoners of war. We need to go into the city and become like the Babylonians. But what God says to them is actually a third way. It's actually very different. He says to them, I want you to go deep into the city. Be deeply engaged in the Babylonian life while at the same time being incredibly different. So different, in fact, that you pray to the Lord for the peace and prosperity of the city. You pray to the Lord for the shalom, the flourishing of the city. You pray for the best interests. You love your neighbors in a sacrificial and deep way. It's the same for us. We've got a few options. We can be in this huddle. We need to be different. We need to stay out. We need to just be Christians and find our comfort or security. Or actually, we just need to not be so weird. We need to go in and just be like the culture around us, holding the same values. But God says the same thing to us. He says, go and be deeply involved, deeply engaged in the community, while at the same time being distinctly different. Let's take a look at the first few verses. So we get the context here. The text of the letter that Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. If you know the story of Daniel, that's what happened to him and his friends. They were taken, the youngest, the brightest, the smartest first, and they were to be assimilated. And again, there was another exile again, and they took the others as well. The Babylonians were experts at that. We will take you. We will teach you our language. We'll teach you our culture. You will become like us. You will not be distinct in any way. But you know the story of Daniel and his friends. They were distinctly different. He entrusted the letter to Elasar, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you in exile." He says to them, go deeply into the city, be engaged in that community, engage in that population there. He says, go deeply in. He talks about farming. He talks about what you need to do to farm is you've got to clear some land, you've got to plant some seeds, you've got to water it, you've got to wait, you've got to have incredible patience. You've got to sink deep roots down in order to farm. Plant gardens, eat what they produce. He talks about the generations, children being married and then their children's children, this network of relationships. And he says in verse 10, I'm going to take you back home in 70 years. You're actually going to be there for a long time. You're going to be in that culture, you're going to be in that city for a long time. He's basically saying for some of you, you will die before you're returned home to Jerusalem. Some of you will not actually see what that is like. Don't stay outside the city hoping that in a couple of years the Lord will bring you home. 7 decades will pass before you are returned back to Jerusalem. Go deeply in, deep relationships, sink down, deep roots. I'm going to encourage us to seek the peace of Warrawee. To go in deeply to the Warrawee community and, yes, the suburbs that are around us, and to sink our roots deeply in, to build relationships, to be part of the community, engaged deeply in what we do, in our relationships, to be engaged, to be interested, particularly as we think about the school community that we are part of, to go deeply in. Do you know the name of the school principal here at Warrawee? Few nods, hands up the back. Carrie Robertson. Very good. She's the leader of, if you think about Warrawee as a community, the school is probably where the community gathers the most. The most people who gather in our community gather around the school community. Do you know the name of the PNC president? We don't need an answer. Are you deeply involved there? Do you know what happens in the school calendar? Do you know what happens here in the school where before and after school? What activities go on? More than that, do you know outside the school community, but in our community, Taramara, Warunga, do you know where people gather? Taramara Toastmasters. Taramara Trotters, the running group, the bush care group that gathers together, conservation. Do you know what happens? Do you know your neighbours' names? Do you know their middle names? Do you know how they have their coffee? Do you know what struggles they've gone through in 2016? We're encouraged to go deeply in, to be engaged, to love sacrificially. I've only lived in Wurundjeri for a couple of months, and I find myself with my neighbour just having those casual conversations as we pull the bins out. And we could do that forever. We could do that, talk about the weather. You know, who can believe it? Winter time, it's meant to be 27 degrees all week. But the encouragement here is to go deeply in, to actually know my neighbour more than the weather, to know her hopes and her struggles. And at the same time, to be incredibly different. To be deeply engaged, but to be incredibly different. We are to pray. The people of God here are to pray for the shalom, the peace and prosperity of the city. And I've got a definition of shalom. Because it's more than peace. When we see the word peace there, we are to seek the peace and we are to pray for peace. We think, the absence of conflict, the absence of war. But actually, this is what the word means: a completeness, a wholeness, health, peace, welfare. It's the idea of a harmony, idea of flourishing. What is it that we're to pray for? That the city is blessed, that it flourishes. If we think about our community here in Warrawee, we are to seek the shalom of Warrawee. We're to seek its wholeness, its prosperity, its healthiness, its blessing, for it to be flourished. And there's this language, not just in the Old Testament, but it's used in the New Testament as well. I just want to show you from 1 Peter 2. As Peter writes, he takes up this same language when he talks about not just God's people who are the Israelites, but God's people who are Christians, those who follow Christ, and says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul, and live such good lives among the pagans," those who aren't Christian, "that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." In the same way, we're to live an exilic life, to be exiles. This is not our home. These are not the same values that we have from the world around us. We are to be incredibly different. And we're to be that as Christians, just as much as the Israelites were back in the city of Babylon as exiles. In fact, if you look at the history of how Christianity grew in the Roman Empire, the Christians were incredibly different. Not only did they love God and love their neighbor, but they sought to bless their community. They sought the shalom of those people around them. There was a practice in the Roman Empire of if a baby that was born and was unwanted, perhaps there was something wrong physically or intellectually with the baby, or perhaps they just didn't want them, they would go out, and it's called exposing them on the hills. They just leave a baby a couple of days old to die on a hill. And that was because the culture of the Roman Empire and the value of the Roman Empire was about strength. Firstly, you wanted male, you wanted sons, you wanted heirs. You didn't want anything that was weak in your family. And yet the Christians were incredibly different. Because what they would do, they would come and they would take those babies and raise those children as their own. They would take those with disabilities. They would take those who are unwanted. And they would say, "No, these babies are made in the image of God." They say that Jesus Christ died for these babies, and we'll actually raise them as our own. We will love them and care for them. We'll be incredibly different. And there's some writings from the Roman Empire where they say these Christians are quite strange. Not only do they love each other as family, but they love outside as well. They even love and care for our own children. They love and care for the widows, for those that we consider weak. As we think about what it means to bless, what it means to flourish, what it means to seek the shalom of our community, we can think about children. How do we care and bless the children that we know? I know many of us support compassion children. Perhaps we support orphanages. I know there's some people do that around the world. But there's ways in which we can be praying and giving. I want us to think a little bit more later about the school. When I was growing up, We used to have some foster kids who would stay with us in Christmas holidays. And my mum and dad were Christians. They were believers. They knew that they had been blessed greatly, and they wanted to bless others. And so for 2, 3, 4 weeks, we would have some young boys who would come and stay with us. They would live with us in our family. They would do what we would do in our family. We would feed them. We would look after them. I remember, actually, when I came back from university on my Christmas holidays, and I was asleep one afternoon. That's what you do when you're in university. And I was woken by these three boys who had found some shovels in the garage, and they were digging a hole. And these three young boys, their mum lived in the caravan park up the road. We didn't know her at all. But through the foster care agency, we looked after them for a month at Christmas time. And they were wild. They were crazy. They were lots of fun. And we found some old baby clothes, but children's clothes that my mum had. And we gave them that they could take home. And they came with us one time to a bonfire. So we lit the fire in our next-door neighbor's place, and they thought that was the best thing in the world, just burning stuff. So much fun. But they didn't have any jackets, so we gave them some warm jackets. And if I think about it, what was it that motivated my mom and my dad? They already had four boys, to take on another three for a month, feed them, give them clothes, look after them, give the mom a bit of a break. It was basically, they didn't look for comfort and security in money. They didn't look for comfort and security in family. They knew that their comfort and security was found in Jesus Christ. What was it about those early Christians who would take discarded babies from the Roman Empire? Well, they knew that their comfort and security wasn't found in money, wasn't found in the prestige of a family. It was found in Jesus Christ. The same Jesus Christ who is called on his birth the Prince of Peace. That same word, shalom, the one who would give us blessing, the one who would give us deep and restful peace. He's the one who knows us, the one who loves us, the one whom through his death takes us as rebels, as exiles, people who are far from the Father's heart, and brings us home. He is the one who brings us into his kingdom. We will be in his presence forever. If you know that your comfort and security is in Jesus Christ, if you know that you've been blessed, you can bless others. You can love even sacrificially. Love when it's uncomfortable. You can seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Seek the shalom of Warrawee. One of the important things that we see is that God is always in charge. He's always, always in charge. If you look at verse 12, as the prophet speaks, he talks about the Lord, and the Lord said, "You will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Even these Israelites who were exiled, God was still in charge. He brought them there, and he will bring them back home again. If we think about where we live, in Warrawee and surrounding areas, God has brought you there. God has placed you there in that postcode. In the same way that it was out of the judgment of the nations and the people had to depend and rely on God and he brought them back. In the same way, God is responsible. God is in charge. God is still in charge in bringing us into this postcode, 207, whatever it is. 2076 for us. And so I want to encourage you to seek the shalom of Warrawee. There's a promise to the Israelites that as the city prospers, as it goes well for the city, it goes well for you. Seek the shalom of Warrawee. We've got a big month coming up here in our church. A lot of things happening. In the next couple of weeks, what we're going to hear about this, we've got an Anglicare collection, which is an opportunity for us to go and visit our community. We'll leave a flyer and a bag, a way for us to care for those in our city who are down and out. part of what we do is the logistics of collection. There'll be more information on that later. And one Sunday, that's what we do. On the second Sunday, we go and we take that collection from our friends, from our neighbours, from the couple of streets that we're responsible for, and perhaps have a conversation. Why are you doing this? Why are you knocking on doors and collecting from verandas for a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon? And it's a chance to talk about how we've been blessed. It's a chance to talk about how we seek to bless our community. You may not use the word shalom, but we seek the blessing. We seek the peace of Warrawee. On May 22, we've got our working bee that's coming up. And this is an opportunity, a working bee here at the public school, Warrawee Public School. An opportunity for us to be deeply involved and distinctly different. An opportunity for us to walk side by side, getting our hands dirty, working with those around us, maybe pulling out 1,000 or so weeds, but at the same time, having the opportunity to talk, maybe just one conversation, to talk with people and to say, well, what do you do? I've got a son in year one, but imagine this. You're pulling out some weeds, and someone asks you, well, I've got a daughter in year one, son in year one, what about you? You've got kids here at Warrawee? No. Or grandkids? You've got grandkids here? No. I'm part of Warrawee Anglican Church. We want to bless the school. We want to bless the school community. We want to seek the peace and the blessing for the school and its community. Let me encourage you. In 5 years' time, 6 years' time, who knows what might change? Who knows what might change about governments allowing churches to meet in schoolyards, in school buildings? But imagine this. The government did change. They decided churches couldn't meet in school halls anymore. And the church, we could put up a bit of a fight. But what if the community heard about this and said, that would be the most terrible thing to ever occur? If Warrawee Anglican Church was to move from our school hall, if Warrawee Anglican Church was to disappear, it would be terrible. They are the people who bless us. They are the people who love their neighbours. They are the people who are deeply involved, deeply engaged in the school community, in the community of the whole suburb. They are the ones who love sacrificially younger people and older people. We do not want them to go. And as they hear themselves talking about that, they find themselves asking the question, what is it that makes that difference? And we get to tell them the best news that exists in the history of the world. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. You are special to him, and he wants to take you home to heaven. Let me pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would open our hearts and our minds. Father, as we think about our community, the school community here, the wider community, those who live in our street, our neighbours and our friends, help us to know them and to love them. Help us to be deeply engaged. And Father, we pray that we'd be distinctly different as well. Our kindness, our love, our truthfulness, are willing to sacrifice and to be uncomfortable for the good of others. Father, I pray that you would be working in our hearts. Fill us so much with the comfort and security that we find in Jesus Christ that we don't need to find it in anything else. And we can be willing to love in the same way your Son Jesus Christ did. In whose name we pray. Amen.